salvation. We thank you, Lord, for paying the price so that we could have eternal life. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's here today. Lord, we just pray now as we open up your word, Lord, that you would teach us the things you have us to know. Lord, we just pray for that our hearts and our minds would be directed toward you. Lord, we pray that we would learn and grow in what you have for us in your word today, Lord. We pray that you get glory and honor out of everything that we as a church do. Lord, we just pray for the preaching service that will come later this week as well. We pray if there be any here that's lost, that today would be the day that they would call upon you for salvation. Lord, we'll just give you praise and glory for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. In whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. And we've been talking the last few weeks about his purpose and his will and the cause. What's the reason? You know, why are we here? We see here, we looked over the last few weeks, that God has a purpose of bringing all things together, both things that are in heaven and things that are on earth, in him, in Christ. It's his goal. And we looked and we saw that our purpose, our inheritance here that we've obtained, looking through the scripture, is one of a heavenly inheritance. We don't have any promises on this earth. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, again, we're there, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Our blessings, our inheritance, our conversation, all of that is in heavenly places. It's not on the earth. We're not given very many promises when it comes to this Bible. We're not given very many promises on earth. We're given heavenly promises. We're given things that are not seen, because the things that are not seen, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the things that are not seen are eternal in the heavens. That's where our promises are. So the question is then, why are we here? Why are we on earth? If this is not our where our citizenship is, this is not where our blessings are, this is not where we are spiritually seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then why are we here? And we looked at that last week, and the fact that we're bought with a price. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's just turn over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So we're bought. We're bought with a price. We were bought at Calvary. Jesus Christ went to a cross, and he died on that cross. And according to Acts chapter 20, he bought us with his blood. He purchased us with his blood. So we're not our own. We don't, it's not our body to do with what we want to do with it. It's the Lord's body. This is His body. He bought this, that therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So it's His. I'm just here in it. But it's His body, therefore I should glorify the Lord in that body. I should do His will in this body. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. You think about the Apostle Paul and all the suffering that he had and all the things that he went through. He did that because he recognized the fact that it wasn't his to start with. He said, I'm in a straits betwixt two. I'd rather die and go be with the Lord, which is far better. But it wasn't him to decide that. It wasn't his place to decide that. It was the Lord's place to decide that. Because he was bought with a price. We're bought so that we can be sons of God. Look over in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, we're children of God. We have the Spirit of God in us. The context here is the Spirit of God. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But we have been given, we've received, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. However, it doesn't stop there just being a son of God. You don't stop at verse 14 and start shouting and praising the Lord. Just right there, it doesn't end. What goes on after that? What is the context here? The context is that as we are joint heirs with Christ in His glory, we are also joint heirs with God in His suffering. You see, as sons and children of God, with that, you don't get earthly promises. You don't get promise that you're going to have a Cadillac to drive. You don't get a promise that you're going to have money in your bank account. You don't get a promise of that you're going to be always have good health. But there is a promise that you're going to suffer. And suffering is what goes on in this body. You see, that's we're here in a body of sin, in a world of sin, in a world of pain, in a world of hurt. So as members of the body of Christ, as children of God, living on planet Earth, being children of God, there's suffering. Can be suffering. Because you see, no, turn over to Philippians. Look over to Philippians chapter 2. We're children of God. We're a son of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ. So when we think about joint heirs with Christ, what I automatically think of is all of the inheritance out there, which is true. We're joint heirs with Christ. What Christ has, we have. But also, it's not just all the glory, there's suffering. Now, remember we read in Romans where it said that the suffering of this present time shall not be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. There's suffering, and then there's glory. We're in the suffering part right now. We're on the earth. Notice in Philippians chapter 2, notice what Paul says here that what our mindset should be. As property of the Lord and as children of God. In verse 5, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Notice, Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That mind is, he took upon himself the form of a servant. Even though he was, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he's a son of God, he took upon himself the form of a servant. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then what happens? What's the next thing? After obedience, after humbleness, after suffering on the cross, then what is it? Then he became obedient. And then wherefore, verse 9, God had highly exalted him. The glory comes after the suffering. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He took upon himself the form of a servant. We're to take ourselves, we're to be servants. We're to have that mindset. The mindset of being a servant. Even though we're children of God, even though we have the promises of all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right now, we're here. The glory comes later. We don't get it now. But the problem with man today is we want this. We don't want the servant part. We don't want to be humble. We don't want to be obedient. We want to jump straight to the glory. We want the dessert first. This is where we're at on planet Earth. We're servants. Notice this about this here. Look in, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Here's the mindset that we're to have. And I'm not going to read the whole passage here in Luke because it's too long. But the context here is Mary and Joseph and Jesus and a whole big group of people had gone to Jerusalem. And they had been there for a while. Jesus was 12 years old at the time. And after that, they left to begin to go back home. And they realized he wasn't with them. They had gotten almost home, and they realized. And so, but let's look in verse 44. Well, verse 43. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowfully. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? His father's business. He, at 12 years old, recognized who his father was, and
was going about doing the business of his Father. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We're to be about our Father's business. We're to be about, we're to be servants. We're to be served, to serve the Lord. Paul considered himself a servant. Look over in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, a servant of Jesus Christ. And notice the thing here about being a servant. It is accomplishing that which the Lord would have be done. Paul's a servant of Jesus Christ, and in the context of being a servant, it has to do with the gospel. We just read it. Look over in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice this about being a servant. It has to do with the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power of the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Paul was a servant to all. What does that mean? Does that mean he just cowered down if they wanted him to go fix them a sandwich, he fixed them a sandwich? No. How did he serve them? He served them by giving them the gospel. He's serving the gospel out to people. As a servant serves, and a servant serves the gospel. It was committed unto him. So he did whatever he could do to get that gospel out. That was his Father's business. That's what we're here on earth for, is to get this gospel out. Look over in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1. And again, the context here is the gospel. Because some had perverted the gospel in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Notice verse 10. Skip down to verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You don't please men. It doesn't please people to hear that they're a sinner and that they're lost and that if they die, they're going to go to hell and then they're going to end up in the lake of fire. That's not pleasing to men. But you know what? It's pleasing to God. That's why there's afflictions that come with the gospel. That's why there's suffering. That's why you have to humble yourself. That's why you have to become obedient unto that. Because your flesh does not want to do it. Your flesh does not want to tell people about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for them. Your flesh does not want to invite people to come to this church so that they can hear the gospel being preached. Your flesh doesn't want that. You have to become a servant. Servants oftentimes have to do things that they don't want to do. That's why they're called
servants. They serve. They serve the Lord. They want to please the Lord. So we're here as servants. We're here as ambassadors. We're here with a message. Look over in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. God will have all men to be saved on the earth. We're on the earth now. God will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. That's what God, that's what His will is. So, why are we here on earth? We're ambassadors. We're filling up a body, the body of Christ. We're getting the gospel out because God wants all men to be saved and He wants all saved people to come into the knowledge of the truth. So the question then is, we're here on earth for that. We're to be going about our Father's business. We're to have be servants as sons of God. We like Christ in that let this mind be in you. Get the gospel out. Why are we here? Not just why are we on earth, but why are we here this morning? What's the purpose? What's the cause? What's the reason that we come here on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock? What's the purpose? Why do we give? Why do we invite people? Why do we come here? What's the purpose? Why are we here? We're here for this same purpose. God will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. This is the place where the word of reconciliation, where the gospel is preached to bring about salvation. Look over in 1 Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 17, 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We're here because this is a place where the gospel's preached. This is a place where a majority of the people here today, I would say, if I had to guess, the majority of the saved people that are here today were saved here. Or as a result of here. A good portion. I don't know what the percentage is. I don't know anybody's heart. I only know mine. And I know I was saved here.
This is the place where you can bring your family. This is the place where you can bring your children. This is the place where you can bring your loved ones. And you can rest assured that they're going to hear that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins and was buried and rose again. And if they will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved.
Right.
They're going to hear it. They're going to hear it on the internet. They're going to hear it on CDs. They're going to hear it preached. That's why we're here. The world needs a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ, and He's already paid for it. It's already been done. All you have to do is believe it, and that's preaching brings that about. Romans chapter 10 says, "Whosoever shall believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" This is where they will hear it. That's why we're here. We're here for that. We're here to support the ministry of reconciliation as ambassadors for Christ. That's the primary purpose. God will have all men to be saved. And He does that through preaching. The power of God. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." That's where the power of God's manifested today. It's not manifested in praise and worship. It's not manifested in speaking in tongues and miracles and healings. It's manifested when somebody preaches the gospel. And that's what you get here. But you don't just get that here. It's not just the gospel. If it was just the gospel, that's fine. But you get knowledge. The other reason that we're here is so that saved people, children of God, can learn how to do their Father's business. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ," for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, for the growing up of the saints, to grow. You remember we read in Luke chapter 2, what was Jesus in the temple doing there? In Luke chapter 2, He was in the temple and He was learning. That's going to make some people mad. They're going to call me a heretic because, you know, according to some people, Jesus Christ laying in the manger there is already, you know, he's just God Almighty. He is the Son of God and He's God, but He has all of God's knowledge laying there in the manger. Just wait until He grows up to start His ministry. Why would He be in the temple asking questions? You know what He's doing? It was His Father's business to learn, to grow. It's your business to learn how to serve the Lord today. You learn that here. You learn how to perfect yourself so that you can do the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we come here. We come here to grow and to learn. Look over in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 11. 1 Timothy 4, 11. "These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." To give attendance to reading, to studying the Bible, to exhortation, that's preaching. To doctrine, that's teaching. You get all of that here. That's why we're here. That's why we come here. We come here to hear the gospel being preached so that people can be saved. We come here to gain, to come into the knowledge of the truth so that we can serve the Lord and know what it is we're supposed to be doing as servants. And then there's one more reason that we're here. Another very important reason. Look over in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I'm going to finish up here in just a minute. Just look at verse 32. In Romans 15, verse 32. Notice this word here. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Refreshed. You know what was refreshing to Paul? It was refreshing to be around other people of like faith. Look in chapter 1. Look in Romans chapter 1. Verse 11. Romans 1:11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. That's, you come here for a spiritual gift, that you can be established. But notice verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. There's something refreshing. There's something comforting about coming together and being around people who believe the same thing, who have the same struggles, who are going through the same suffering. It's comforting. It brings comfort. It brings refreshing. We need to be refreshed. Why? Because if we're serving the Lord, if we're doing His business, if we're living godly, that's what living godly is doing what God would have you to do. Then Timothy says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So what does it do to come here? It refreshes and comforts you from this world that we live in. It is a safe harbor. It should be a place where you can come to feel comfort, to feel refreshed, not to worry about what somebody's going to think about you in here. You just shouldn't have to worry about that here.
That's right.
This should be the place where you can come to be comfortable, to have comfort and be refreshed with people who are striving together. I want to read one more verse. Look in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4. Verse 26. Philippians chapter 1, verse 26. Philippians 1. I said it before. Philippians 1, verse 26. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. If we had a mission statement for our church, it should be Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, that with one mind, with standing fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving. It's not, striving means it's not easy. You strive for it. It works. It takes sacrifice. It takes inconvenience. But we strive together for that faith of the gospel. And by doing that, notice verse 28. And in nothing, terrified by your adversaries. which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. But that suffering for His sake can be comforted, and you can be refreshed by coming and fellowshipping and being around people. Don't take this place for granted. There are people out there who would love to be able to get together with other people, and they don't have it. All they can do is watch an internet broadcast. We have it here. We're here because God has a plan, He has a purpose, He has a cause, and we're part of that cause. And this place helps enable us to do that cause and fulfill the will of God. Okay? All right, I'm going to stop. You can take a break.